Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You are listening to the Gate 7 International Podcast, a podcast connecting Olympiacos fans from Melbourne to Baltimore, from London to Piraeus. We are four Olympiacos fans from every corner of the world, bringing you news and interviews of the team you love in English. With new episodes twice a week, you'll never lose the latest updates and stories of the team you love. This is our team, our city, and our land. Me Aoniro Trello. You're listening to the Gate 7 International Podcast.
Hello, everybody. What a beautiful game we've just watched. Welcome to the Gate 7 International Podcast, your official English source for all things Olympiacos FC and Greek football. My name is Peter Thompson, back on the podcast today, here with Kostalianos. We are very excited. We're in a good mood. I've got my White Claw hard seltzer here. We're going to celebrate a massive, massive result that we have just picked up. I don't even know where to begin, Costa, but like, I couldn't be more surprised. I have to be honest with you. It's been a very tumultuous start to the season for our team. And this has been the result of the season so far. We were all saying 1-1, maybe 2-1. We'd be lucky to get a result in Turkey. It's a tough environment. The fans were loud. It felt like football again. It was very hostile. And we come in and play some of the best football we've seen in a long time. 3-0. Beautiful, beautiful from everybody. Costa, what do you have to say about this game?
I mean, it's funny how a season transpires every year because the beginning of a season is always difficult. Let me give you an example. Tottenham defeated Manchester City on their first game in the Premier League. They went on to win two more games with the same score of 1-0. And now they've lost three consecutive games.
So Crystal Palace and Arsenal and who else?
And Chelsea.
Chelsea. That's right.
3-0, scores of 3-0. They started so well, and now they're in, well, not tatters, but it's problematic right now.
It's up and down.
And look at City. They started with that loss at Tottenham, but now they're back at calling themselves Premier League title contenders. I mean, they beat Chelsea as
beating
well.
That's Chelsea. Huge. And Chelsea have started strong, and now they've gone and lost to City and lost to Juventus. As you say, it's so hard to judge early on. Greek fans are very reactionary, us included. And so it's very easy to say, oh, what is Martins doing? He has to go. We need to fix this and that. But at the end of the day, Martins looked like a genius today. Costa, what were your thoughts when we saw the lineup as well? Because Costa Levoyanis, I believe, said we might be in for a surprise. I don't think he tipped exactly precisely what we would see, but the lineup comes out and everyone is saying Masuras right back, 3-4-3, Ba, Cisse, and Sokratis are in the team, and the game kicks off and we are seeing it's actually a 4-2-3-1, I guess you would say, with Ba as the right back and then Masuras, Henry, and Agibu in attack behind Tiquinho. What were your thoughts when you saw that and then when we turned on the game and we see what's actually happening?
Well, I mean, just like I told you guys before kickoff, I told you this has all the makings of either being a gigantic balls up or a massive epic success.
Yep.
For Olympiacos' sake, it was scenario number two. I was just baffled seeing Ba in that position. I will not criticize Usain Uba because he doesn't play that position. You can't.
Yes, I mean,
that's
he
what
did.
He knows.
I
he
guess
knows
like
he knows.
Yeah, we can get this out of the way. Like I had words for Ba in the previous podcast. Like he didn't play great, but it's not his. Like he's playing out of position. Like he had a horrible cross, and you can say, "Oh, Ba, what a horrible cross!" But you can also say, Martins, why are you putting a player who can't cross in that position? But at the end of the day, it didn't matter too much. He was subbed off at halftime, which was probably a good change. We can get into that a bit later. But yeah, a bit of a forgettable performance from Ba and an interesting move. But I mean, really, it just didn't matter that much.
Well, there are some things I still don't understand about Pedro Martins in terms of the fullback situation, which has turned into quite a drama ever since Omar El Abdelawi and Kostas Tsimikas left.
Yeah.
I don't understand why Karbovnik didn't just start there. Or Lala, Kenny Lala was so good.
Yeah,
you want to talk about it now?
I'm going to get my victory lap out of the way because people have been talking down Kenny Lala. Is this the turning point? Is this when he comes around to what we thought he was going to be? He was such a great player in France for so many years. We know he has it in him. Maybe it's a system thing. Maybe it's a mental thing. Maybe we don't know what it is, but he's been very disappointing. And then today he comes on at halftime. Nobody's expecting it. Everyone's saying Karbovnik for Ba. Karbovnik should have started. And Lala out of nowhere. We thought he was dead. He hadn't been making the bench. He's the new Draeger. Where is he? And then he comes in the team. He puts in a great shift at right back, really involved in the attack, does everything he needs to do for 45 minutes. He's setting up for us to see more of him, which is really exciting. Hopefully he can keep it up. We still do need to see more because it's been a lot of disappointment. And then, you know, this one good performance from him. But I just want to say, Kenny, I never doubted you forever. I will always support you, Kenny, through all the hate and all the fans calling him a coat. Really excited to see him come on and play well. And hopefully this is the start of something good for him.
It was a tremendous performance from Kenny Lala. Kenny Lala is a player that does have a lot of experience from Ligue 1. It didn't really work out with Olympiacos recently. Is it a turning point? We don't want to fall in the same trap that we just set up, explaining how important it is, you know, to just remain calm at the start of the season. It's very common to see your team underperforming or overperforming in the first few stages of the season, and then, you know, everything going in the exact opposite way. This is huge for Olympiacos because I wrote a blog post about how important it is that Olympiacos are lacking fullbacks. But it seems like there is a bit of a change going on. Rebchuk got that huge goal against Antwerp. Huge goal in which it was an amazing goal. He scored it with his bad foot. He gave Olympiacos a huge victory. Without that victory, there would have been a situation where people would be discussing Pedro Martins' future. I guarantee you, if Olympiacos hadn't won that game, people would be talking about Pedro Martins' future before that game with Fenerbahce. I don't know if we would have still won that game, but it would have looked pretty bleak for Pedro Martins. And it does seem like he is kind of turning it around. He needed that. Players really need that moment that will spark a fire under their asses. And it did look like that was the moment for Rehabchuk. Kenny Lala, is this the moment he gets that spark?
Well, seriously.
I mean, who are Olympiacos playing next after the international break? Is it Panathinaikos?
We have Panathinaikos. Is it? I think I almost wanted to
this
say
weekend, this weekend, isn't it?
It's this weekend. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, let's see how he does there.
Yep. And actually, Kostai, we have a comment that I have to address. Alexandros just has told us they've won 1,500 pounds. you see
Did
this?
Did he? Good for you, man. Good for you.
On the game. Wow. That's tremendous. I kind of want to hear more. Did you just bet on the result? Did you do a big parlay for like Masuras to score two goals and Tiquinho to score a goal and clean sheet? that's incredible. I want to hear more. Let us know. But I mean, either way, yes, hopefully this is a big turning point for Kenny Lala, but another player that we have to bring up, I think, is someone that I said in our chat, Costa, is arguably the most underappreciated player in Pedro Martins' career. And Alexandros said he put $100 on the exact scoreline. So that's ballsy right there. I rate that from you, Alexandros. Congratulations. But the most underappreciated player in the Pedro Martins era. And that has to be Yorgos Masuras.
Yeah.
God, I'll tell you what, I impulse ordered a Yorgos Masouras jersey after he scored his second goal. I'm not going to lie to you.
Why not? That's great. That's great. That's great. He really deserves it. That's great.
I mean, I can't say enough good things about him. We've always known the mentality is there. The work ethic is there. He puts in the work when nobody's watching. He tracks back in the game. He cares. He wants to win for this shirt, for this team. And we saw today two absolutely brilliant strikes where his mentality and his effort and his awareness of the game got him in the right position to score off the rebound twice. And his skill that he's been working so hard on, his technique, got the ball in the back of the net two times today. And he was also involved with the first goal that was scored by Tiquinho. So we have so many things that we can say about Masouras. Costa, I know, I think you had tweeted or texted us about, you know, basically saying, JVS, are you watching, right? Like he needs to be given a bigger role in the Ethniki. So what did you see from Masouras today? Just a beautiful performance.
I mean, let's all admit this. When we think of Olympiakos' greatest ever wingers, Masouras is almost definitely not in the top 10. He may not even be in the top 20. I mean, we don't remember. He's not the kind of guy you remember like Georgievich, Yannakopoulos, Galetti, Miralas, Joel Campbell, Bebis. He's just not in that category. I'll admit, he's not an exciting winger. He's not the guy who gets the ball and dribbles past five people, breaks into the box, passes it to the center forward, and he gets the big goal and we all go nuts. But he gets results. He's a quiet winger that gets results. He's a fighter. He's a soldier. He doesn't give up on the pitch. Even when all the entire team gives up, he doesn't. Yorgos Masouras is a very underappreciated player in so many aspects. I advise Olympiakos fans to enjoy them, to enjoy him while they can. This was the biggest match of his life. It is not his last big match. There's going to be bigger performances out of Masouras. And I will dare say that Olympiakos will soon get some big offers for Yorgos Masouras. He's going to be the next one. I don't know from where. I'm not sure if it's going to be Premier League, but maybe Bundesliga, Serie A, La Liga.
Still young.
He's still young, but I feel like, you know, his ticket is coming up soon. So Olympiakos fans, enjoy them while you can. Now, as for our beloved Greek national team, I do not understand why Yorgos Masouras is not one of the players JVS would like to build. I don't understand why he's not one of the players JVS would like to build the team around. He's not really that much around in the starting lineup. He comes off the bench quite often. It feels like he is the kind of guy you really need in your starting lineup. You can have your Bakasetas, you can have your Hatzidiakos, you can have your Pavlidis, but by God, you also need your Masouras in there. He is one of the most consistent performers Olympiakos have had. And screw the Greek Super League. I mean, let's forget what he's done in the Super League. In Europe, he has been so clinical
and
so influential. Getting goals, getting assists, participating in goals. It's huge. This guy needs to be in the starting lineup, just like Stelios Yannakopoulos was, just like Yoros Karagounis was, Katsouranis, Delas. He's that kind of player for the Greek national team. I don't know why he's not. To be honest with you, I'm very much looking forward to that Georgia game to see if he's going to be in that starting lineup instead of someone else. But I do not understand why he keeps being so underestimated. He's not the most exciting player we got, but he gets results.
Absolutely. He's, like I said, he's had his moments where he's been up and down, but so many times we can talk about PSV last year. We can talk about Arsenal the year before last. He's been there. He always knows when to show up. And today was just another example of that. He was truly excellent. We missed him so much. A lot of, I think, the problems that we had in the last few weeks can be attributed to him being out of the team. And so to have him back is just so important. And absolute. I mean, I'm going to spoil it now. He's going to be my man of the match today when we do man of the match at the end of the podcast.
Of course.
brilliant performance. We have a comment from Costa Levoyanis, who couldn't make it today. Fantastic win. Gutted can't join you boys tonight. Has to be said. Thankful that Pelkas' shot hit the post at 1-0. Oh, Pelkas, you can leave Pauk, but Pauk will never leave you, as I always like to say. Pelkas, once again, leading a losing effort for Fenerbahce. He actually played all right, to be fair to him, but obviously I'm going to get my jokes in, get my jabs in at Pelkas and Pauk. But that was a nervy moment. It has to be said, in the first half, we didn't exactly play brilliant football, Costa. It can be easily forgotten because we had a great result and we really turned it on in the second half with some of the changes that we made. But there, you know, the first goal was very fortunate. We came on the counter and we, you know, Agibu Kamara played a great ball in to Masuras that eventually resulted in the ball getting in the back of our net. But in reality, it was difficult in the first half, and Fenerbahce could have easily came back and scored if the game continued that way. And thankfully it didn't, but definitely it seemed as if we had a bit of trouble passing the ball, a bit of trouble stopping them, you know, when they got in the final third, they had a few set pieces. So, you know, it's definitely easy to forget about that. And we really patched it up in the second half, which is encouraging to see, but yeah, I mean, a bit nervy in the first half there, huh?
Well, I mean, first off, when it comes to Pelkas, I have to say I really admire this player. He has really taken this opportunity he has at Fenerbahce from the hair. He really stood out last season. I am totally rooting for him, just like I'm rooting for every Greek player playing abroad, such as Christos Djorlis and Dimitris Giannoulis at Norwich, who are also doing really well. I wish him the absolute best, and I insist that Pelkas, just like Masuras, should be a major chapter of the Greek national team. Two very young and talented players from which the Greek national team can get a lot, and I am very excited to see what he's going to do, not only at Fenerbahce, but anywhere. Like, I wish him the absolute best, and I hope we're going to see even greater things from Pelkas and all the Pelkases in the world. Now, as to the first half, that goal from Tiquinho was so crucial. If Tiquinho had missed that, this game could have gone in a very different direction. Agibu Kamara was so influential today. He participated in all the goals. An underrated and very quiet transfer that had François Modesto's signature, just like all the others before him from the African continent, from Africa, that is, of course. Just like Cissé, Ba, Kamara. It's amazing how this keeps happening. And, you know, keep him coming, I say. We covered the whole Useinu Ba situation. He shouldn't have been playing there. No one can blame him for underperforming. He did what he knew as a center back, playing as a right back. It's very important to address the fact that Olympiakos struggled in the passing. It's good to praise Olympiakos after a big victory, but there needs to be a few warnings because Eintracht Frankfurt are coming up, and the passing needs to improve. The passing in midfield, the passing from defense to midfield. When you find your space, you need to take full advantage of it. Agibu Kamara took advantage of it in the goal, but in later stages, he didn't. When he had the chance of finding Tiquinho in the second half, his pass was too strong. I went straight to the Fenerbahce goalkeeper. But having said all of this, Pedro Martins may have completely screwed up at right back, but by God, he got the midfield so right. The pressing was incredible. The pressing from the midfielders and the defenders who pushed Fenerbahce back forced those errors and created so many chances. The pressing tonight in both halves, not just the first half, was incredible, was exemplary.
They were so just rattled, you could tell, Fenerbahce, especially the back line. Mahdi was really applying a lot of pressure very high up on the pitch. He nicked it from the defenders a couple times. He almost did it a couple more. And as you say, you know, the entire choice of players and choice of pressing was very strong. And I think Adi as well had, maybe he tweeted some stats about Fenerbahce's PPDA against, I can't remember, but if check Adi's Twitter. I can't remember. Anyway, Mahdi put in so much work today. You could see at the end of the game, he was absolutely dead tired and needed to be subbed off. But You know, that's just a product of how he was. Fetembo says Mahdi was bossing everywhere. What a player. Absolutely. He was all over the pitch. Excited to see his Y Scout heat map when that drops tomorrow. And you know, Buhalaki, say what you will about him, but he also did put in a lot of work in midfield. We saw Koundé at the end of the game, and he sort of was a part of that third goal, I believe, coming down the right side. Yeah. But yeah, the pressure seemed to really catch Fenerbahce out of their element. I have to be honest, and I mean this in the least offensive way possible, but I really wasn't impressed with Fenerbahce. Even when we were playing poorly, I think they were also not sort of into it. And maybe it's just a product of Olympiacos playing very good football. But I think we looked like very solidly the better team, especially in the second half today.
Well, I have to say, I spoke to Aris a few days before the game. We texted, and I told him that pressure is on Fenerbahce. This is the kind of match Fenerbahce really needed to win. It's in Turkey. You got your fans. They're going to create an intimidating atmosphere for Olympiacos, who weren't playing like underdogs, but this was a game Olympiacos could afford to lose. Like, if it had gone the other way around, Olympiacos could have said, you know what, we're still in this, you know, nothing's over yet. Whereas now pressure is on Fenerbahce, because now they're thinking it is looking a little hard for them. There was a lot of pressure for them. I think it was too much pressure. I am not going to dare say they underestimated Olympiacos. That I do not know, but they did concede very, very early. You had a great show with Rezan Yetis the other day.
It was awesome.
And she had such great input and such great analysis about Fenerbahce. And I got to say, I was a bit surprised with what I saw, because I expected much stronger defense from Fenerbahce, who only conceded, what, 5 goals so far in total? 4? How much is it? Something
not
like that.
Not very many.
Not very many. They conceded 3 goals in just one night. I have to say, I was surprised with Ener Valencia's performance. Didn't see much from him there.
Crying and whining and yelling at the referee.
There was a little moment that, you know, one could say maybe he was diving. I mean, Reapchu got done for diving, but I'm not going to dwell on that. It did seem like Fenerbahce were quite toothless, but Olympiacos should counter Lucky Stars that Pelkas shot didn't go in. That could have been a huge and major turning point to the match, because they had just found tempo, Fenerbahce. And then a while later, Olympiacos turned the tide with their goal. They didn't turn the tide with a chance or by playing possession or by playing tempo. They got it with that goal. But overall, I have to say that Vitor Pereira does need to go back on the drawing board on this one. Fenerbahce have so much quality. I am not writing them off. There is a return leg at Karaiskaki. They have so much quality in that team. Mesut Özil will be there.
We'll be back,
Because he was just dealing with the flu, based on my information.
That's what I've heard as well, yeah.
He still needs some match fitness, but I suppose he's going to be there. And Fenerbahce cannot be underestimated at all. So much quality there. Olympiacos can celebrate beating a really impressive squad, but I feel like Greece is going to be a completely different story.
Well, they have a lot to prove as well. And as we've said many times on the podcast, Olympiacos under Martins seem to have an affinity for going away and getting a big result. And sometimes it's the game at home when, for whatever reason, things don't come as easily, especially for teams like Fenerbahce that are very accustomed to playing in hostile environments with very loud and, you know, hooligan fans, as they say. It's not like a shocking experience for them coming to Karaiskaki. And so... I think they're going to have a lot to prove. As you say, Ozil is going to be back, and we obviously know the talent of player he is. So it should be a very interesting game. I'm already looking forward to it. This one was obviously very entertaining in the first half until the goals started to come. It seemed like it could go either way. So, you know, obviously very happy to get this result. So proud of the players and of Martins today. And, yeah, I'm not sure. I guess we should give a shout out to Vachlik as well. He had some excellent saves. There was one, was it when we were up 2-0 maybe? We had just scored the second goal, I want to say, and they had come down Yeah. And he made a great reaction and dove up and stopped a point blank attempt on goal. I forget who it was from. Maybe Rossi. I don't know. But
I think it was Rossi, yeah.
Yeah. And so he made so many big plays. He's very calming at the back. You can see how experienced he is. This is the type of player that we wanted. This is what we were seeing when we saw him in the Euros, and now we're seeing it for Olympiacos. So very excited to see him come up with a big game, maybe his biggest performance since coming to Olympiacos. And he very much earned the clean sheet today.
It's amazing how Olympiacos are so good at picking goalkeepers this past decade, really.
Truly,
When Nikopolidis left, Costanzo came in, and he was a tragedy. But then ever since Balas Megeri took over, there's been such an impressive group of goalkeepers coming in. You had Roy Carroll, you had Roberto. I liked Stefanos Capino. I don't agree with the way everything ended for him at the Olympiacos. He wasn't the one to blame for that loss to AEK. It was a team effort that night. It wasn't just Stefanos Capino's fault. And then you had Jose Sa coming in. When that chapter ended, of course, that left a huge gap between the sticks. And here is Vatslik. And after Vatslik, even when Vatslik's time comes, there's Jolaikis. It's so amazing how Olympiacos are finding are so good at finding solutions between the sticks. And it's not a given. I mean, Chelsea did struggle in the last few years, just to name one team. But Vatslik was incredible tonight. Very composed, incredible saves, dominating between the sticks. He had at least two big saves. He had that save you said you mentioned from Rossi, I believe. And in the first half, there was a shot by Valencia that Vatslik saved. He inspires so much confidence and maybe a new chapter for Olympiacos right there. The way I see it in general for Olympiacos right now, I told you guys about it before we went on air. If Reapchuk / Lala / Karbovnik, all of them, or at least two of them in each wing, manage to reach at least something close to a top-level performance in the big games, and Gary Rodriguez proves to be a successful transfer, then who knows what this team can do. In my opinion, a serious Olympiacos, based on what we just saw, serious Olympiacos, they can top this group. And it's important to top this group because remember, whoever finishes second plays with a third team from the Champions League to get into the last 16. The third team, whoever finishes third, goes to the conference. But Olympiacos are too good for the conference, in my opinion. A serious Olympiacos should push for number one. They should tell themselves anything other than number one is a failure and push for it. Eintracht have proven that they're not an invincible team. They can be, you can cause damage to them. They just made it past Antwerp.
Well, and they drew with Fenerbahce in Germany.
Yes. And they almost lost. They almost lost with Pelkas as a missed penalty. They almost lost.
Yep.
So Olympiacos need to go for the jugular in this match against Eintracht. You want to beat them. You want to impose your will immediately.
And that would give us a chance to be 5 points clear on top of the group halfway through. If we beat Frankfurt, we would have nine. We would have 9 for 9, and they would be on 4, as they're on 4 right now. So it would be an absolutely massive result. We've already, done well. Unfortunately, Frankfurt did nick a last-second penalty, I believe, today.
Yeah.
To get through, but even then, Fenerbahce have gotten 1 point in 2 games. Antwerp have gotten 0 points in 2 games. It looks like maybe they will be going out. But, being on top of the group, having achieved 6 points in 2 games is great. If we can get 3 points in Germany, or I actually don't know if we're in Germany, but if we can get 3 points when we play Frankfurt next time around, that would be absolutely massive. It is in Germany. Okay.
It is in Germany, yeah.
And a comment from Agelos Del, Vatslik is better than Sa, better with the ball and feet and reading the situation. Sa only better at reflexes. I think Vatslik is definitely better with his feet. That was probably one of Sa's weaker points. And Sa, I think, is maybe better at reflexes than Vatslik. I still need to see more, though. But I think the thing we forget often is Saha came in and it was very much, we didn't know what was going to come of him. He was not, I think he was backup to, who was it, Yannotis at the time?
Andres Yannotis.
And so that's not really saying much. He was in on a loan. He was sort of disillusioned from Porto, and eventually he fought his way, and it was a real surprise when he became the goalkeeper that he did, and now he's starting in the Premier League, of course. And Vatchelik is a much more known quantity, as a player. We've seen him in the Euros. We've seen him for Sevilla, winning the Europa League in the past. So, it is very nice.
But Jose Sa got an. I mean, speaking about his feet, he got an assist in the Premier League.
He did have an assist to
Raul Jimenez. Yeah, he got an assist. So, I mean, his feet weren't that bad.
Well, they maybe have gotten a bit better, but
who knows? No, but Jose Sa was a top goalkeeper. He left a huge gap in between the sticks. Vatslik is in. It's very good for Olympiakos and for Greek football that such a great goalkeeper after a great Euros came over to replace Jose Sa. And there's Jolaikis in the back burner.
So, as I said, is the future.
He is the future, and he needs to be the future.
He will be the number one for Greece and Olympiakos, I think.
I don't know about Greeks, but he needs to be at Olympiakos. Because we got Athanasiadis in Greece as well, right? He didn't get called up. Surprise, surprise, Athanasiadis and Kolovos did not get called up.
I don't think JBS watches Champions League, man. I don't think he saw the game.
I am not going to get into that discussion, but two Greek players stood out at the Santiago Bernabeu beating Real Madrid. And they're not in the Greek national team for Georgia.
We can save that for another podcast, maybe when we.
with pleasure.
But I mean, it's a massive game. We've got Panathinaikos coming up this weekend. Stirner 7 says Sunday will be sold out. I'm super excited for that game. Who knows what we'll see? Probably a bit of rotation, although it's the last game before the international break. So maybe we do see something reasonably similar. Fetanos says, keep Kolovos out of the Ethniki. Still some harsh memories from like 2018, maybe.
Because we have so many great wingers in the Ethniki. We're just so much.
Galimnios, what a player he is.
So many great wingers in the Ethniki. That's why.
Yeah, I mean, Masuras has to play. That's all I'm going to say for the Ethniki. That's all we have to. That's all we have to say about that.
May I add just something about Panathinaikos though? It's easy to expect Olympiakos to put together a 5-star performance against Panathinaikos this coming weekend.
That might be a bit of a hangover.
Exactly. Excellent, Peter. What happened when Olympiakos defeated Manchester United at Karaiskakis? In 2014, what happened later on, just a few days later?
Oh, geez, Costa, you're checking my age here. I don't remember.
Panathinaikos destroyed Olympiakos 3-0 at the Karaiskakis. That's what happened. Yeah. What happened when Olympiakos? Which game was that? It was red. When Olympiakos got the draw with Tottenham 2 years ago, what happened a few days later? Olympiakos drew with Panathinaikos at the OAKA and almost lost because Jose Sa caught a penalty that night. So guys, do not underestimate Panathinaikos because they are so much more evolved now under Jovanovic. They have a great player in Vital, and I'm glad to see this. I welcome an evolved and improved Panathinaikos.
Yeah, same here.
Because Greek football and Olympiakos need a good Panathinaikos.
Yep.
I mean, let me say this. I've been wanting to say this on the show for a very long time. Panathinaikos will always be Olympiakos' biggest opponent and vice versa. Let me put it this way. If Olympiakos go bankrupt and fall in the third category of the Greek league and they're playing with kids because they just simply cannot afford real players, while Panathinaikos become stronger than ever, some rich billionaire comes over, takes them over and brings in Haaland and Mbappé together. The Votanikos, if that's their new new ground, Votanikos, Leoforos, wherever they play, if they get Olympiakos in the Greek Cup, it's still going to be sold out.
Yeah,
the great Panathinaikos against a destroyed Olympiakos, the game is going to be sold out wherever they play. But if BAOK have the same fate as Olympiakos in the scenario, they go bankrupt and fall into the conference, into the Greek conference, and draw Olympiakos in the cup.
No one
the
would care.
The Karaiskaki will not be sold out for this game. Panathinaikos are always going to be Olympiakos' biggest opponent. They are their Pepsi. Coca-Cola need Pepsi. McDonald's need Burger King. That's why we all want a strong Panathinaikos, just like we want a strong Olympiakos. And hopefully Panathinaikos will return to Europe real soon.
Yep. And Costa Levoyanis agrees with you. They will always be our biggest rivals. And the thing is as well, that example you brought up about if Panathinaikos buy Haaland and Mbappe and we get thrown down to the third division, no matter what the circumstances, anything can happen in these games as well. Even without there being a hangover from the league, from the Europa League, even without all of that, in a game like this, you have to just throw away all your expectations. Anything can happen. These teams, they want it more. The fans want it more. In any sport, in any rivalry, but especially in a rivalry that is as everlasting and hotly contested as Olympiakos versus Panathinaikos, you cannot predict what will happen. You know, it doesn't matter who's been in better form. It doesn't matter anything. Last year, we lost to Panathinaikos out of nowhere.
Yeah.
We were in better form. We were the better team. Panathinaikos have been struggling, but they come in and beat us. This is how it happens. This is why it's a great rivalry.
I expect Panathinaikos to play with a lot of heart. I expect Panathinaikos to create a lot of hardship for Olympiakos. Because the thing is, Panathinaikos do have a lot of Greek players, and they get the rivalry. They get it that when the time comes to play Olympiakos, you are going to play your heart out against this team. You are going to bust your ass against this team. And that's what I expect. If Olympiakos won underestimate Panathinaikos, then, good luck with that.
Yep. But we will, of course, talk more about the game over the weekend. We'll probably have someone be writing a pregame post for that game on the blog. We have, I believe, Stephen Kuduru is writing a postgame blog post that will be out sometime tomorrow, hopefully. So a lot of fun stuff coming out on the blog as well. Make sure to visit that, gate7intl.com. Anything else, Costa? I would like to
say something. Olympiakos are having a luxury player this season, and his name is Madi Kamara. He is a luxury for Greek football and Olympiakos. The coronavirus pandemic, I believe, played a huge part in him not leaving earlier on because of a lot of financial hardships for some of the biggest clubs in the world. The guy is just bossing midfield. He helps in defense. He helps in attack. Inspires so much confidence. Absolute top class from this player. And we spoke about Masuras and how Olympiakos fans need to enjoy him while they can. Well, if that applies to Masuras once, it applies 20 times for Madi Kamara. I'm going to dare say this is probably his last ever season for Olympiakos. I don't know if Napoli are going to come back. I don't know if the Premier League clubs are going to come back. Sheffield United wanted him. Watford wanted him as well. Kamara doesn't. He belongs at Olympiakos, but he belongs also to something greater.
He belongs to a European club for me.
Yes. So enjoy him while you can, lads. He is a luxury player. And the kind of player, as I said, if Olympiakos solve the fullback situation, Gary Rodriguez proves to be a success, then Madi Kamara will play a huge role in Olympiakos making that tiny little next big step in Europe. But let's see what happens with Eintracht.
Yeah, and Gary Rodriguez will be available if we make it through the group and everything. Maybe if he shows off in the Super League, he'll be able to come in and play some of those games in the knockouts. Costa Levoyanis is asking about Mr. Haircut Henry Onyekuru, my new favorite summer signing. He loves a game against Fenerbahce, as we said, but Costa is asking for his thoughts about Henry. All jokes aside, I'm not going to be super negative on him. I think he didn't get a lot of touches, which some of maybe you can attribute to him. Some of you can attribute just the form, the way the game went. It seemed like we were attacking a lot more down the right side today, and Henry was on the left. When he got it, he didn't, he seemed all right. Didn't look super disjointed or anything, but I mean, I definitely expected to see more from him today. This was a game, especially in the first half, where we were countering a lot. We know he's had success against these opponents in the stadium before. But yeah, I'd say a very middling performance. There's not much for me to say. Like, I'm not gonna bring a coat on set again like I did last time for him. We have another comment. Henry wasn't a winter coat that much today. Yeah, he wasn't fantastic, but he also wasn't a coat. I don't know. What do you think, Costa?
First off, I think it's amazing that we have adapted the word palto into the English language. I think that is amazing and it's incredible. Greek culture just knows no borders. I love that. When Reza Yetis said that in Turkey, they expected Henry Onyekuru to be their biggest threat because he loves a game against Fenerbahce, I was quite baffled about it because I was thinking, do they know Madi Kamara? Do they know Yorgos Masuras? Do they know Tikini?
They've been hurt too many times by Henry when he was with Galatasaray, I think.
Okay, I'll admit, I didn't really watch Onyekuru in Turkey, but today he wasn't really the most influential or inspirational player. But as you said, most of the games were being played down Masuras' wings. But when he got the ball, he wasn't much of a difference maker. He still has ways to go to reach the desired level at Olympiakos. I am not going to knock him down. I do believe that he does have quality. I do believe that if he works with Pedro Martins, Olympiakos could see something a lot more inspiring out of him. But at the end of the day, he did play his role. It was a team effort. And most of the success obviously belongs to Pedro Martins. I'm telling you, that pressing in midfield, that's what did it. And he did read Fenerbahce really well. And that's what did it, the pressing in midfield. And it was all down with Pedro Martins.
Fuck's sake, I've muted myself.
God damn it, that's guys. What it was. It's okay.
Fucking hell. Nobody, thank you for the chat. God damn it, that was poor from me. But yeah, anyway, Henry, we will see. We will wait. The people in the chat helped me out. Now we're getting like fucking 20 messages, lads. Like, oh my goodness, I'm embarrassed now. Anyway,
it's okay. Happens to the best.
So yeah, Henry Onyekuru, meh, we move on. Any Tiquinho. Other questions? We haven't talked about. Let's talk about Tiquinho and then chat. If you have any questions, and if people keep telling me no sound, I'm gonna start getting mad. But if you have any other questions about the game that you want us to talk about, send us a message in the chat and we'll get to it. But let's talk about Tiquinho because we totally did forget. You know, El Arabi not starting today, maybe fitness concerns, whatever. Tiquinho, we did not miss Youssef today because Tiquinho popped up with a very big goal. He was involved. He great hold up play all day as well, I would say. And then on the third goal, he really helped create it. He did a really good job to get the ball to Ayubu. And the second as well. Yeah. The third one was where he passed it to Ayubu and Ayubu missed and Masuras got it. Yeah, but the sure. second one, it was him who missed and then Masuras scored the rebound. Is that right?
The headline with Tiquinho is simple. There is a successor to El Arabi. Olympiakos got a successor to El Arabi. El Arabi can go so far in his age. He has given it all to Olympiakos. It's funny with El Arabi because when he played for who was it that he played? It wasn't Le Havre. Was playing in France. Who was
Toulouse?
It?
Toulouse?
No. No. It wasn't Toulouse. Oh, I'm so embarrassed right now that I don't remember that. He was playing for Caen.
Okay.
He played for Caen. While he was at Caen, he was approached by Lyon. And that was in the late 2000s when they had a strong team. That was before Paris Saint-Germain got all those billions. And he turned them down. He went to the Middle East to play for Al-Hilal. Then he went to Granada where he was just incredible. He still got a lot of offers, But for some reason, he never made that big step. So, I mean, we spoke about Kamara being a luxury player. El Arabi, in the past 2 years, has been a luxury player for Olympiacos, an incredible center forward who one day will have to leave the team. But Olympiacos won't have to worry about who's going to be replacing, because Tiquinho has been proving that he is the right replacement for El Arabi. So we talked about goalkeepers, getting it right with them. Olympiacos got it right with the center forwards as well. You know, there's quite... we can say a lot about Olympiacos' scouting this past summer, but those two positions are very important. Olympiacos have been aces right there.
Well, and it's... we think back to the Tiquinho signing. We were all... It was the biggest wild card of the entire summer, right, Costel? Like, this guy was in China. We didn't know, has he put on weight? Has he played? Is he fit? He comes in, and yeah, there is a bit of rust, but immediately in the preseason, we can see that he has that eye for goal, that he is a finisher. He can do it. He's what we're looking for, at least as a sub to play, or maybe even to play in a two up top. And then he gets injured, and he comes back. And when he comes back, we see that he's even more than what we were thinking he could be. It's truly like he was a wild card and he turned out as good as we could have possibly imagined. I think he's been absolutely killing it with the goals in Greece and now in Europe, and very, very excited to have him with us. Another question from, I think it's Olympiacos Turkey. They ask, do you think we miss Envila today? I mean, we won 3-0, so can't say we missed him too much. You know, obviously we want to make sure Jan is healthy as possible. We don't want to rush him back, but we want to make sure that he's okay. And hopefully he can come back in the team, because we will need him. Today, like, as you said, Costa, the midfield of Kamara and Bouhalakis played well today. You know, it was a game when I didn't really miss Envila that much, I would say. But hopefully we can get him back.
Well, Olympiacos didn't miss him in this game at all. I mean, the scoreline just says it itself. And if Envila had been rushed back into it, Pedro Martins would have been risking a long-term injury to one of his best players in the team. So Pedro Martins made the absolutely correct decision.
Yes.
And if we could go back to Tiquinho just for a very quick one, I never doubted his credentials, especially with Porto. He had a magnificent run with them. Olympiacos cannot hope to bring in the biggest names or the biggest talents in the world, but they can hope of bringing in players who have shined in other competitions and are not exactly reaching the twilight of their careers, but are kind of reaching it, like El Arabi, for example. And in Greece, we love to knock down big players coming to the Greek league. We loved to knock down Rivaldo when he joined Olympiacos. We loved knocking down Gilberto Silva when he joined Panathinaikos. We loved knocking Djibril Cissé when he joined Panathinaikos, but they still knocked it out of the park. Never doubted Tiquinho, and he's proving to be a very influential player and the right replacement for El Arabi.
Absolutely. Yeah. Another one from Olympiacos Turkey. Is Ruben Vinagre still alive? I believe yes. He played today. Is he at Europa League? Oh, no, he's not. He's in Champions League.
He plays
on the bench. He's with Sporting.
Sporting, of course.
He's on the bench. A little nice Olympiacos Easter egg. They have opted to play Mateus Rice, former left-back transfer target, ahead of Ruben Vinagre. So he's really been making his mark on their team. Love to see it. Not surprised. He's such a great player. And then one more question from Dio Brando. What do you think about Martins' formation, to be specific, Masuras as a right back? I mean, to be honest with you, I really didn't see Masuras as a right back today. I saw him more as a right winger and Ba, as well as Lala as the right back. Yeah. So I was surprised to see that. We chatted about it a little bit at the beginning. Surprised to see Ba on the right. He definitely did not look like he should be there. But the change was quickly made and Kenny Lala came in. And after that, it was a much more traditional formation. So that's, I guess, what I would have to say about it.
Just don't do it again. Pedro.
Just Martins, don't do it again.
never do it again. It was fun, you know, it was exciting, you know, kept everyone on their toes, you know, I made it interesting, but don't do it again.
Totally agree. Well, I don't see any more questions. Yeah, well,
what
actually,
about Papastathopoulos? What about Papastathopoulos? It was very quiet from him, but he was clinical in his marking, wasn't he?
I mean, the thing with defenders is a lot of times when it's quiet, it means they've done well, right? You know, we didn't notice anything.
Yeah,
he was the only one who did not get a yellow card of the back line today. So we have to appreciate him for that. But yeah, no, I think he played well today.
I shouldn't complain about him not being in the Greek national team, right? We're saving it for another pod.
We'll save it.
Okay, good.
Agelos says Papastathopoulos out. He is so bad. I didn't think he was that bad today, but
no,
maybe
he
it's
wasn't.
Just me.
He wasn't bad at all.
I think him and Cisse both did what they had to do.
Yes,
Muscarius says, what happened with the Polish kid, Karbovnik? Why didn't he play? It's a question we don't know the answer to. We were all very surprised to see Lala. Maybe there's an issue with, I don't know. Karbovnik played against Antwerp, didn't he, last time out in Europe? So maybe
he did.
Maybe there's some sort of fitness concern that we don't know about or something. It's hard to say. But Kenny Lala came in and did the job.
Yes, he got the job done. But the thing is, the media are not taking part in any team's training session. So...
Exactly.
We don't know what happened in the training sessions leading to this game. Maybe Kenny Lala did prove to be the right choice during training. Maybe Karbovnik didn't. There are games that call for certain players and some games that don't call for certain players. The best example is Otto Rehagel at Euro 2004 when he would change Kostas Katsouranis and Jurka Seitaridis to center back for certain games because he thought they were the right guys to mark those big stars like Thierry Henry, Zinedine Zidane, Pavel Nedved, etc. Some games call for certain players, some don't. This game called for Kenny Lala at right back. It definitely did not call for Hussein Nouba. Maybe it didn't call for Mikhail Karbovnik.
Well, and Costa points out as well that Karbovnik is a bit weak. He's not very strong, as Adi pointed out during the deep dive, as we've seen a little bit.
There you go.
And Enner Valencia's, you know, he's a very strong physical attacker, so maybe it would have been difficult for Karbovnik in this game. So that makes a little bit of sense as well.
There you go. Yeah, there you go.
We'll say that was what Martins was thinking. But anyway, I think it's about time for man of the match and coach's grade, Costa. It's just the two of us today, but and I think we've sort of already tipped our man of the match. Masuras, it has to be. I think, you know, he was brilliant. He scored two goals. He assisted the other one. But, you know, we have to shout out Lala. We do have a couple comments about Lala. Elios Gashi says Lala was pretty good. He started a couple counters by himself. And then Khapatsas, I think Lala had a solid game, to be fair. He played some nice passes and did some nice skills on the line. Absolutely. I agree. Let's hope we see more of him. Agibu Kamara also deserves recognition, in my opinion. Vachelik also deserves recognition, and Tiquinho also deserves recognition for me. All of them played great. And for coach's grade, I'm going to give him an A. The reason it's not an A+ is because the decision to start Ba at right back is a bit puzzling for me, but I think he got just about everything else right. Very well done for Martins to choose to have the players applying lots of pressure against a Fenerbahce side that was not ready for it. The rest of the personnel worked out really well. He didn't, you know, rush back El Arabi. He didn't rush back Mvila. And it ended up being completely fine, which is the nice decision to make in that situation. So for me, Martins gets an A. What do you think, Costa?
Well, back to the man of the match. Obviously, it's Yorgos Masuras. The match of his life. That was the match of his life.
We have to say that, yeah.
He is... He's not taking the mantle from Kostas Fortunis, because Kostas Fortunis is just injured. He'll be back. But he is the standout Greek player of this team, and every team needs this. They need that native player who's going to hold the bar sky high. He's going to be the talking point of this
team.
He's
captain right material now, as well. Bouchalakis, we know, is the captain because he's, you know, more experienced, but Masuras is captain material for me.
And he's the talking point right now at Olympiacos. Well, he can be, at least. Kostas Fortunis has been for all those years. And you need that in every team. And that's why it makes sense that Olympiacos never sold him and probably never will. He's going to be like a Predrag Georgievic kind of player, Fortunis. But Masuras is the talking point right now. So That was a great game for him, but he needs to keep up the good work. Now, to the grade, I am going to give Pedro Martins an A-, and that goes for that right-back decision, which I do not understand, and I really hope...
You're a bit more harsh than I was.
I really hope he doesn't try this again. It's like skydiving, what he did, right? It's something good for one time. Let's do it one time, and then let's never do it again. Just, the parachute went off, nobody got hurt. Now, let's go back to enjoying the terra firma. So that was it, really, from Pedro Martins, because I also didn't like the passing. I have to say, 2 years ago, Olympiacos were passing the ball, playing out the back, and just looking so impressive against teams like Bayern Munich, Arsenal, and Tottenham, playing them as equals, and Wolves as well. Whereas now, we are struggling to pass the ball around, even against...
Yes.
Inferior opposition. Even
and 2 weeks ago, we were having these struggles against La Mia, right?
Yes. And that's worrying. Yes, he gets the A because Olympiacos won, and they won, in a dominating fashion. But there are still some things that need to be addressed.
Well, there we go. Man of the match, coach's grade are done. Any last questions, people? Get to them right now in the chat because we're pretty much wrapping up. But I just want to say thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in. What an absolute game to watch. So much fun. I was jumping up and down. I love Masura so much. What a player he is. Can't wait for this weekend. We're going to have more content out, podcast right after the game. Make sure to subscribe, everybody. We've got a lot of people in. If you enjoyed today's show, subscribe for more. We do this for every single Olympiacos game. And more. We have pregame for the big matches. We do all sorts of stuff. Maybe some special guests coming soon as well. Not that Costa isn't a special guest, but we mean like former Olympiacos players. Hopefully some of that stuff coming in soon as well. So keep your eyes on our channel. Make sure to click subscribe, turn on your notifications so you don't miss any of it. Make sure to leave a like and comment and all that good stuff as well. Share with your friends who love Olympiacos or football. Visit the blog, gate7intl.com, for more content about the game. But that's about all. We do have one more question. Did you guys like Koundé? I think he was also good. Yes, I did like Koundé. Koundé is great. I'm a big fan. I want to see more of him. Always happy to see him in the team.
Great runs from Koundé. Ever since he joined, we saw some really good runs.
Good
definitely
passing.
Potential there, but he is not Madi Camara's replacement. Guys, Camara is almost definitely leaving in the summer, and Olympiacos are going to need a replacement for them.
Luckily, we have another year to figure that out. Anyway, thanks so much, everyone. Thank you, Costa, for coming and joining me.
It
was a fun time. Coming back this weekend with Panathinaikos game. Huge derby, first derby of the year in Greece. We are all very excited. Until then, enjoy the rest of the night, folks. Big result, party long, and have fun. We'll see you on the weekend.
You just listened to an episode of the Gate 7 International Podcast, a podcast connecting Olympiacos fans from Brussels to Tokyo, from Toronto to Geneva. We are four Olympiacos fans from every corner of the world, bringing you news and interviews of the team you love in English. With new episodes twice a week, you will never miss out on the latest updates and stories of the team you love. If you liked what you heard, make sure to follow us on social media at Gate7INTL. Give us a subscribe on YouTube or even leave a review on all our podcast channels. Until next time, this is our team, our city, and our story. Thrillos, he said. Στο μυαλό κάτι μαγικό.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.